If you are poor and you live in England, it's your fault.
Really? But I think there's so many reasons why people are poor. Only people who are property owners in the UK should be able to vote or not.
Yeah. That's an interesting one.
Yeah, you don't like the language, but you actually agree with what I'm saying.
The reason you would put in a rent cap is that not all landlords are like that, and some landlords will be looking to take advantage of the renters where they can.
I'll accept defeat. Edward, thanks for coming out.
Hi.
So you've come to debate me. You're a solicitor.
Yep.
And what did you want to debate me about specifically?
Well, I think we've got various topics to discuss, some regarding sort of property as an investment.
Sure.
Some regarding sort of the UK system in general. Yeah. And education, I think, as well.
Okay. I said on a tweet one time, and I don't know if you disagree with this one, if you are poor and you live in England, it's your fault.
Really? I think there's so many reasons why people are poor, like beyond the control of the individual.
Give
so sometimes you've got, you know, class issues. People don't have the access to education or an ability to improve themselves.
YouTube is free though, isn't it?
Yeah, but not everyone has an internet and not everyone has the time. Not even everyone has the education or the support system.
I see homeless people with card machines. Like, everybody has access to the internet in the UK. I mean, maybe not every single person, but if you don't have access to the internet, it's not difficult. If you're in the UK, I've been to countries where they haven't got access to internet, they haven't got access to water, they haven't. If you're living in the UK and you're poor, and you say that's because I haven't got the internet, find a way. It's your fault.
But I don't think everyone has access to the internet. Even okay, you have some people with a contactless machine, and that's because cash in general has just disappeared.
But if you don't have access to the internet, or you don't have access to a phone, it's so accessible. I mean, if you're in the UK and you don't have any money and you're from a really broken family, you can get housing benefit and you can live in a house share and the government will pay.
But not everyone has not everyone has access to housing benefits. Not everyone has access to there's so many things that come in the way that stop it from, I wish it was that simple and that you could just get the internet, use YouTube, do some online on a course, and then you've got a job, and then from that it all follows. But it doesn't work like that. If you have an interview and you're a homeless person, you can't have a shower or something, and you walk in immediately, people are going to be like, well, sorry, I don't want to hire this person because
have there been people in the past that have been homeless that have had nothing that have gone on to be successful?
Yeah.
So it's possible.
Yeah.
So if it's possible and then somebody doesn't do it, is that not their fault? Because it is possible. It's not like it's impossible.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's possible, but it doesn't mean that everything they did was down to them. There's also like so many circumstantial things that come in the way and prevent that. So maybe it happened that a certain person makes so much money because, you know, they were at that time willing to change because, you know, of the people they were surrounding themselves by, or something happened to them and a bit of luck turned their way. Like, there are so many other things that can happen in the opposite way.
So do you not believe in personal responsibility?
Personal responsibility to an extent.
Okay.
But
I believe in full personal responsibility.
I think I'd put it this way. There are so many things that some people benefit from that other people don't. And I think for you to just simply blame them for stuff that is so far beyond their control, aspects that would happen not just before they were born, perhaps before their parents were born. And then they, you know, through bad luck or whatever, various decisions, they become poor or homeless.
Yeah.
Like, it's not their fault.
But do you think that if they believe it's not their fault, that will be more empowering or less empowering to them?
That's a good point. Maybe, I think it's potentially empowering for, say, look, you have it in your capacity to change and you have to be willing to change. But I think just to say that it's entirely their fault,
you don't like the language, but you actually agree with what I'm saying.
Well,
you just don't like the way it's said.
No, I don't. No, because I don't like the idea that it's somewhat like a fight. The use of the word fault implies blame. So they're to blame.
Absolutely.
For the situation.
Yeah.
But I don't agree with that.
But then,
I think if it helps them to improve by thinking, okay, well, I've got to take this into
my hands. Would it help somebody? If somebody's poor, would it be more empowering for them to believe that they're poor because it's their fault? They're in control of their destiny. They're in the UK. They can be wealthy. They can be successful. Would that be a more empowering belief? Or would it be more empowering to believe it's not my fault, it's because of my circumstances and there's nothing I can do, this is my destiny forever? Which belief system is more empowering and beneficial to that poor person?
The first one where right. they're taking
so with me saying it's your fault if you're poor. Mm-hmm. Actually, do you not think that potentially that's empowering people to say, actually, yeah, it is my fault. If I change my behavior and change my habits, I could be successful. And it's actually giving people hope.
I think it's a bit more nuanced, as I said. Like, you have the whole issue of, you know, education, jobs, wealth, all that sort of thing in class. Like, the idea that you could go in and, you know, it's in your hands hypothetically, that can be true. And it's a useful mindset to have because it means that, you know, you're going to actively try and change rather than just say, you know, it's providence, it's destiny. I can't do anything about it.
Right.
I just think I have a problem with the idea of, like, them being to blame for them being in the situation.
What's the difference of being to blame and being responsible?
I think blame implies...
Implies, but actually it's really the same thing. It's just slightly triggering language, but actually I think you agree with me. You just don't like how it might make people feel because of the language chosen to be used.
Well, no...
If I said the same thing in a different way, you'd probably say, actually, that's really helpful, I agree.
Because it's a different point. So
no,
say,
same point. If I said, hey, I know you're poor, but you can be successful. You're in control of your destiny. Would you agree with that?
Probably. Okay. Well, you can try and improve it because there are still
but champions don't try. Champions either choose to do something or choose not to do it. It's weak to say, if you try, no. You are in control of your success. And you know what? It might be 10 times harder for you because you've had it rough, but you've got this. And if you work hard and if you study, you can be successful.
I understand your point.
Same as saying it's your fault that you're not there at the moment. You're in control. You're responsible. Personal responsibility.
Yeah, but then what happens if there's so many other things that come in the way that stop them from doing that? Then is it still their fault? Is it still their fault that maybe they had, let's say, for example, I don't know, a drug addiction or something that happened to them before and you say, well, look.
Yeah, I would say. Okay, you can get clean. You can get, it's been done before. Many people that have had drug problems have managed to wean off, go to rehab. It is your fault. You take drugs. It's terrible. It's unfortunate, but you're responsible. Wake up. As opposed to saying, I understand, it's difficult, it's tough, you can't help it. I think that's actually disempowering and will lead people to a further poverty for the rest of their life, which is a sin.
Yeah, I mean, I don't agree, but yeah. I put it this way, like, I don't think it's that simple.
But complexity is the thief of execution. To make something complicated and to wrap people up in nuanced victimhood is actually going to keep them poor. Whereas to make it simple and clear and give them an empowering personal sense of personal responsibility, I think is going to actually push them up to the next level.
But isn't like life nuanced in general? Yeah, it's not that simple. So... I agree with you in that it makes it, one, you can break things down and make it clearer and more simple and you do this and X will happen and et cetera. But like life exists at various different levels. So it isn't that simple. Going back to the original point.
No, but personal responsibility is straightforward and everybody should take it to account. They can't say, it's different for me because I'm on drugs. There was a story about two twins. And one of their dad was an alcoholic and used to beat their mom and horrible person. And these two twins, one of them went off to be an alcoholic and would beat his wife and horrible person. And the other one was a really good, fantastic family man, never touched drugs. And they interviewed these two twins. They said to the first one, why do you beat your wife? Why are you an alcoholic? Why are you a bum? And he said, that's because my dad's an alcoholic and my dad used to beat my mom.
Yeah.
And then they asked the other person, why have you managed to get yourself together and you've never touched alcohol? And he's like, it's because my dad's an alcoholic. So the same two people in the exact same environment, one chose to be a victim and one said, actually. So I don't think it's the same. I think if someone's got a difficult life, if someone's poor, if someone's on drugs, and I came from, I'm not saying I had a really difficult life,
sure,
but I came from a very humble background. And I think empowering people is actually you need to take responsibility. And if you're in the UK, I've traveled to some of the poorest parts of the world. I've been to the slums of India. I've been to the most remote villages across the continent of Africa. And I wouldn't say that necessarily. But in England, come on. If you're complaining, oh, I'm poor, I haven't got any money, wake up. It's your fault. I think it's a very fair, logical, an empowering message.
Yeah, I mean, the point about external from the UK, yeah, obviously, there's so many aspects of life that they won't be, you know, even subject to. But I think fundamentally still, maybe it's the tone that I don't like, as you say, of like the idea of blame and culpability. But I just don't think that sometimes there are things that are beyond your control that you can try your best to improve, but some things might still come in your way, I think. But it might be relatively useful to have a mindset of, I can improve things, and you might be better off than you were.
Yeah.
And actively trying to change. But I think ultimately there are some barriers that you just can't cross. I think I saw as well an interesting point we should discuss was perhaps whether you'd be better off studying a property management course or something along those lines, or using one of your crash courses. I mean, I didn't study property at university, but I think sometimes the skills that university teaches you can't just be done on a crash course. Having said that, of course, you know, some people have natural entrepreneurial skill and that can be taught and helped through a course. But if you're looking for a job just in general in the property industry, not necessarily as an investor, like working for a property management company or something, often they'll need a course or a specific qualification.
Sure.
That I think it can be contributed massively to university.
Let's look at what the actual, what I actually said, and we can discuss that point. For a young entrepreneur wanting to become a property investor, they'd be better to go to university to study real estate management then learn from Samuel Leeds courses. And I said, disagree.
Yeah.
And are you saying you agree with that?
I would say I disagree. Well, I agree in part, essentially.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my thoughts on that, and maybe we don't agree. Maybe we can move on to the next topic. Maybe we agree. I don't know. But my thoughts are, if you want to get a job and you want to work in property management and you want to be able to show your bosses, look, what university is really good at is becoming an employee.
Yeah.
Because you can show that you work hard, you finish what you start, you've got the degree.
Yeah.
Great. And I'm not against universities.
Yeah.
But my argument is, if you want to actually be an investor and an entrepreneur and you want to start your own business, it would make sense to learn from people like me.
Yeah.
Or not me, but independent business courses and property courses where you're learning from actual millionaires that have actually built businesses from the ground up. I think you'd be far better learning from myself than going to university if you want to study money and if you want to actually learn how to start a business.
But isn't that, like, by that logic, couldn't you be better off just learning yourself, like trial and error? Or perhaps learning those skills through, like, what happens if the universities offer those degrees or that sort of help from specialists? I'm sure it's not just, you know, abstract.
But they do offer that you can get a degree in business and business management. But I would argue that going to university and studying business, learning from a lecturer who's probably not had a very successful business and from old, outdated textbooks, you'd be much better off to get a mentor who's a successful business person that can show you how it works in the real world, not get you to memorize information and from pointless things. I think you'd be better off getting a millionaire mentor to hold your hand and guide you through what works in the real world. I think it'd be much better and cheaper than going to university.
I think you're looking at it in sort of a separate separate way in terms of investing and becoming, you know, an entrepreneur. I'm sometimes not sure that can actually be taught. Some people are entrepreneurs by nature, you know, some people are more risk averse and therefore less likely to do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas others are like, I need to make the money now.
Yeah, yeah.
This is my best way of doing it. And maybe even for them, a course might not be worth it.
I agree to some extent that not everybody wants to be or is meant to be an entrepreneur.
Sure.
Some people are meant to be employees.
Yeah.
And they could be very wealthy employees and help build businesses or be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Fine. But for the people that do want to be an entrepreneur, I think it would make sense to learn from someone who's an actual business person and get mentoring from them.
Maybe.
An interesting statistic as well is you studied law at university. Only 16% of people that go and study law go on to actually work in law and become lawyers.
Yeah.
Whereas my students, the success rate is far higher than that.
Yeah. But I guess the difference is that a lot of people who study law are only studying law because they, you know, see it as a next step or they were interested at the time. Bear in mind, you're picking these degrees when you're most of the time 18, which is quite young in your overall career development. Whereas people who are using your crash course maybe are more set on what they want to do in terms of investment.
They're older.
And I think you learn more aside from law at a university level, sure, because you're learning how to formulate an argument, how to read sources, how the UK legal system operates.
It's true. I'm not saying it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a waste of time. I'm just saying the success rate from my training programs is far higher.
Sure.
But I don't think it's a waste of time at all. Yeah. I think if you want to go to university, you did.
Yeah.
Congratulations. I'm sure that you will earn a lot more money than if you hadn't have done it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that you're a much smarter person as a result, so respect.
Okay. Whether there should be a sort of cap on rents in the UK?
Yeah.
Personally speaking, I've rented before, and I think that sometimes the rent increases can be so large that it's impossible to keep up with the pay. And even when you're being reasonably well paid, the increase is so high that it's, you know, you as a, for example, I lived in a property when I joined or when I signed the tenancy, it was £700 per person for four people. Mm. And by the end, and when I left, it was 1,300.
Yeah.
So the increase almost is doubled. Huge.
Yeah.
Wow. In such a short period, that was 2-3 years.
Yeah.
And
that's
I
mad.
Think that-
That's mad.
I know that there are like caps for social housing, which is obviously useful and it's in line with inflation. But I think in general, there should be some sort of management to prevent like the rent prices being so high that people just simply can't afford it. I don't know if you...
Yeah, I mean the debate point, to be specific on the wording that was selected, was rents should be capped across the country until the economy is more stable and people can afford to pay more. I strongly disagree with that.
Okay.
I think rent caps, there can be different types of rent caps. So for example, to say you can't increase the rent more than 10% in a given year to stop someone being screwed over.
Yeah.
You know, you're renting from a landlord and you're paying £700. That was what you agreed. You've moved in, you've got your removal van, you've set your Wi-Fi up, and then they go, actually, £2,000. I think that would be debatable.
Yeah.
But I think that to cap rents, generally speaking, and we've seen this happen. I mean, they cap rents in New York.
Yeah.
And it led to the prices actually being not only distorted and a lot of homelessness as a result, properties being neglected because the landlord's now resentful. I believe, generally speaking, in a free market where you have a willing buyer and a willing seller, and if somebody wants to charge £10,000, but the actual market value is £5,000, they're going to have an empty house.
Yeah.
The but market will dictate how much.
I guess at the same time, shouldn't there be like some caps in the way? Free market obviously works well.
Yeah.
But when you have it so much so that the increase is beyond what anyone can afford, like you look at the London prices now and basically every property is almost unaffordable other than if you have a lot of like previous help or are extremely wealthy. Otherwise, you can't buy a house. So I think rent increases, because a lot of people will be renting, should be capped at some level, maybe in line with inflation or something.
The problem is, though, let's say you say rents, I mean, the average rent, I think, in London is, I think, £2,150.
I believe it is.
So it's just over 2,000. That's the average, including apartments. Yeah. And also, average in London. Let's say you turn around and say, that's too high.
Yeah.
We're going to cap it. You can't go above 3,000, for example. Yeah. All that's going to happen is, number one, it's going to stop investors wanting to build to rent properties in London, because they're going to think, well, if I build a property in London, my rents are capped. So it's going to prevent investment into the area, which actually is going to push the rents even more, because everything's supply and demand. So I think the problem is with things like rent caps is you're pushing away landlords, when what should be the case is landlords are encouraged, developers are encouraged. I think that long term, rent caps are going to hurt the people that you're trying to help.
Isn't part of that rent cap also for if people are less inclined to invest in excess properties, doesn't that mean that people then can buy their own homes? Because the rent is capped at a certain level, they have more expendable income.
No.
And they can use that to buy things.
The more people want to buy, the more the supply and demand, the more houses are pushed up. So, and if you can't afford to rent, how are you going to be able to afford to buy?
Well, you'd be able to save more because your rent wouldn't be increasing so much.
Yeah.
So
that's not the real world, though, is it? Where has it ever worked where they've done rent caps and people have said, oh, this is great. Now I'm able to save and everyone's happy and now I can get on the... It's never happened. Whenever they've brought rent caps in, it's always led to things like homelessness. It's led to landlords getting backhanders.
Sure.
It's led to landlords thinking, all right, my rent's $3,000. I'm not going to do the maintenance then.
But isn't homelessness also partly because rents are so high that people can't afford to pay them?
What I think should happen, I mean, what I do, I believe in creating affordable accommodation.
Sure.
I believe in developing houses. You know, at the moment, we're turning old rundown commercial properties and storage units and factories, turning them into apartments, mm-hmm. providing extra supply to the area. I think that's the... And what the government should really do, which they're saying they're going to do, and I hope they do, is they should work with developers and make it easier to develop more properties, because the more supply we've got, that will make properties more affordable. I think that's the answer, not trying to distort the market or freeze rents. I think that's just going to cause problems, and it will also make an us and them between landlords and tenants even more toxic than it already is.
I guess what more is the point is that what it provides is some protection for tenants. Because obviously I'm assuming you're a responsible landlord. You look after your tenants.
Yeah, of course.
You're not putting up the rents too high, et cetera.
The opposite, in fact.
Okay. But the reason you would put in a rent cap is that not all landlords are like that. And some landlords will be looking to take advantage of the renters where they can. And so if you put a rent cap in, that prevents the rents from being so high that you do increase and exacerbate the issues I spoke about previously.
Do you think that then there should be a cap on interest rates?
Well, that's dictated by the economy itself.
Yeah, but should they just cap it and say, right, interest rates aren't going to go above 4%?
No, that wouldn't work.
It wouldn't work, would it? It's not the real world. So as somebody that owns properties, if my interest rates go up and now my mortgage is higher, do I not have to increase the rent?
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. It's, you would cap it in line with inflation. So the rate could only go...
What about interest rates? Because that's ultimately...
Mm. I mean, yeah, probably in line with interest rates as well.
Okay.
Some sort of, I don't know, an index calculated via... The same way that they do index rates for all sorts of things. That idea to cap it. Interest increase.
But when you try and bring in rules and regulations, we should cap it with inflation and actually interest rates. There isn't a way of making a perfect system. The fairest way is to have a free market and say willing buyer, willing seller.
An entirely free market, I probably wouldn't agree
maybe
with.
Maybe some regulations. And maybe you have a point. Maybe if there was a rule to say you can't do what happened to you, put somebody in and then hike the prices up. I think that I probably wouldn't really disagree with that.
Yeah.
As a landlord myself, if I've got a tenant and then rents go up, I actually leave their rent the same, unless it's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
I've had one tenant that's been in there 8 years.
Yeah.
She moved in, was paying 500. The going rate is about 1500.
Yeah.
She's paying 800.
Yeah.
So I've kind of wanted to, I want to reward a tenant for being loyal. And generally these greedy landlords that do what the guy did to you, they normally end up not doing that well because... Mm. It pays to run an ethical business, I think.
Yeah.
Edward.
Cool.
Really nice to have a little spa with you, my brother. Thank you so much. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you very
much.
And
I wish you all the best in your career and in your future.
Thank you.